The Christian Science Monitor headline was unsurprising for those of us who understand religious values in this country are as diverse as they are sincerely held. I had to stand up and say no. Pro-choice Christians battle Texas law. But for many Americans, media coverage and political claims in recent years misrepresent Christianity as marching in lockstep behind theocratic absolutists on abortion and women's health issues. That's why it's so important to highlight stories such as this one, and I am happy that it brings correspondent Henry Gass to State of Belief Radio. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here.
How has SB 8 changed the lives of Texas women, including Christians?
Well, so far, it's been just over 2 months since it went into effect. There was a slight pause for a couple of days in October, sort of while it was moving through the courts. But in sum, the effects that have been documented so far is sort of the number of abortions performed in September, the first month it was in effect, was 50% lower than the September before. And there have been sort of reports of large increases in the number of women from Texas accessing abortion in sort of neighboring states like Oklahoma and New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's unclear statistically exactly what the effect has been, but it's safe to say that abortions have declined significantly.
You write about how this draconian law has forced some Texans to take a stand for the first time. I wish you would talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, it is the views on this issue in the faith communities is very diverse. So it's first you have to note that this is some people in the faith community to which this applies to, but for some, it's been sort of a tipping point. I guess you could say they'd sort of been unclear how they felt exactly on abortion and reproductive rights, but with SB 8 and in particular with the sort of the so-called bounty provision within the law, that's pushed them to the point where that just feels wrong to them and doesn't sort of align with their beliefs and morals and feelings about the issue, but also about sort of society more generally, and it doesn't sort of correspond with their faith and how they think people should be treating each other.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about one or two of the people of faith that you spoke to about their activism?
Sure. So for this story, I traveled to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and spoke with some groups there who have been helping women from Texas who've travel out of state and receive abortions sort of in Albuquerque and elsewhere in New Mexico. And I spoke with one woman there who is a volunteer and sort of hadn't been, and this is partly sort of COVID related, is hadn't been sort of as active with the group before, but after SB 8 went into effect, she became wanted to become more involved with the group and wanted to help women in Texas find reproductive health care in New Mexico. And another woman was a pastor in Texas who told me she'd been conflicted, I suppose, on reproductive rights for a very long time. She'd sort of slowly been softening to it, I suppose, and changing her views slightly. But with SB 8, it sort of was a tipping point for her. It was so harsh and so inconsistent with her beliefs that it sort of clarified her feelings slightly. She did tell me she is still pondering reproductive rights and how they align with her religious beliefs, but it's definitely been for her a significant tipping point.
Yeah. Henry, are there enough folks on the ground trying to help that they are making a real difference, or are most crisis pregnancies going undressed from what you're seeing?
That is very difficult to know because there isn't any data on the women who are now choosing to to carry their pregnancies to term. Like, that's sort of hard to get a sense of. What a lot of people I've spoken with about this can believe, and I think is reasonable to infer, is that most Texas women probably can't get the time and afford to leave the state to get a medical procedure. Like, every abortion clinic in the state is complying with the law and, you know, aren't providing abortions for people who have been pregnant for longer than the 6 weeks is required by the law. But for a lot of women, they can't afford the travel expenses, or they can't get the time away from work or their families to make that trip. Many of the states, the border Texas, also have pretty strict abortion laws in place and don't have many clinics in their states. So the number of Texas women going out of state to receive abortions has gone up significantly, but the number who aren't able to do that is probably quite a bit higher.
There's been such confusion as courts have made conflicting rulings on SB 8. Clinics have had to open and then close on a moment's notice. What is the effect of that on women who are in the midst of making such a difficult decision?
I think confusion is the presiding effect, I would say. That, I mean, number one, most women don't know if they're pregnant or not 6 weeks after conception. That's sort of the first factor that is causing some confusion. But women also don't know if they're even allowed to go to a clinic to find out if they're pregnant or not, because they're afraid that might be illegal. Is it something else I've heard? There's a lot of confusion and a good amount of fear as well.
On this show, State of Belief, we highlight the work of Texas Freedom Network and Just Texas on a regular basis. Do you see broader coalitions of faith-inspired activism forming in Texas?
I'm not sure about that myself. I'm familiar with those groups and know that the work they've been doing for some time now. Sure. And from other folks I've spoken to, it does sound like some people are more sort of more active and more engaged with this than they were before SB 8, but I'm not sure how significant that is myself.
Do you see activist networks now digging in for the long term, or is the fundamental hope that we will see this go away?
I would say activists are digging in. I would say they're also preparing for the worst, because there's SB 8, which has an unclear future, I'd say, is the most confident statement we can make at this point. But then there's also the Supreme Court is hearing a case next month that could lead to the right to abortion being overturned nationwide. And so they're also thinking about that possibility. SB 8 itself is, as I said, sort of unclear what its future will be.
Henry, I'd like you to talk about what else is central to this awful situation in Texas that those of us who aren't on the ground there may not even be aware of. What do all Americans need to know that you as a working journalist knows?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I suppose based on my reporting for this story, what I think is important to know is that views on this are very diverse, and they are fluid as well. We hear often from the camps who sort of have very firm and unbending views on this, but there are a lot of Americans, the majority of Americans, I think it's safe to say, who aren't really firmly in one camp or another and are sort of pondering it, like the pastor I spoke with in Texas, sort of all the time. And it's difficult. And I think it's important to keep in mind that this is something that lots of people in the country are pondering. And there are sort of tipping points like this sometimes. But I think it's important and worthwhile to keep in mind the idea that, that lots of people are have sort of mixed feelings on it, different feelings, and feelings that, that change. So I'd say that's one of the, the important things to take away at this moment.
Henry Gass is correspondent at the Christian Science Monitor. His recent article is headlined, "I Had to Stand Up and Say No, Pro-Choice Christians Battle Texas Law," and we will link to that from stateofbelief.com. Henry, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.